Later in church. Jim is one of the early, he came early on in the church, and he's going to share a little testimony before we get into the message.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jim Mitchell. I've been coming to Renew for about 10 years now with my family, and it's really been a blessing to us. And when I was reflecting back on this last 10 years and what God was trying to teach me at this church, two things came out to me. One, prayer and petition work, but not always in the time frame we expect it to work, and not always in the way we think it should work out, right? And then also, if you stay faithful to God, that you're also going to see that he will reward you, he'll bless you, and he will provide. So as you kind of heard Amanda talking about, I'm going to talk a little bit about our history of buildings, right? So our first service was in a meeting room at Metropolis across from the go-kart tracks, and literally in the middle of Jamie's sermon, all I heard was, all right, no rubbing, bumping, keep your hands in the go-karts. So, little weird, right? Little weird, but it was really cool. It was a great place, but obviously we had to move on, so we found this beautiful little place on Graham Street. We remodeled it, nice, cozy place. Same kind of thing. We started just growing the church, and it just got really small, really tight, really quick, and we had to look for another building. And this is kind of where this all comes in. So we looked at, first of all, we looked at a spot in the same building by the same landlords, and we were going to move into it. It was not ideal for the church at all, but we're like, hey, we need a bigger space. So we started going down the process, and it got shut down. You know, deep into the process, got shut down. So we're like, okay, here we go again. So we went and looked, I think, at about 2 to 3 more buildings, and we finally found a place that we thought was pretty cool. I think it was an old Y, and it's now the co-op, and we're like, oh, this is cool. It's a big space. It's got a basketball hoop. Some of us were excited, and we're like, this could be good, and we got deep into the process. Jamie shared with the church about our plans, and then, boom, God shut it down. And I still remember, and I don't know if Jamie remembers this, but Jamie came to the church and said, look, we got to continue to pray. We got to continue to be faithful to what God's will is for us. And he goes, look, I'm frustrated. He's like, God, I'm like, what's going on here? Why are we getting so deep into this process? And then it gets shut down. But lo and behold, the Lord provided, and we ended up with this building, which is pretty cool. And I think it's served a lot. So it just showed me that prayer and petition and staying faithful is very, very important. But there was also something else. One last story, Jamie. And there was another group praying for us to be in this church today. And after one of our services on Graham Street, we got to all come over here as a church. And the old First Baptist was here. There's probably 13, 14 of them, 65 plus. That's it. That's all that was here. And when we came in, we had a bunch of little kids. My kids like started, oh, big space. They just started tearing through here. They're all excited. And there was literally tears on these people's face. And we got a chance to talk to one of the parishioners, and he said to us, he said, you know, we were praying that God would bring a church here and not allow this to become an apartment complex or something else, that they wanted this to be a house of God, and that somebody that would touch the community like Renew has. So it just goes to show you that when you pray for something, it's going to happen. It might take some time to look back and figure out where God's taking you, but he always provides in the way that's best for us because he knows better than us. So I think it's pretty cool, and I'm just very blessed to be here, very blessed to be with all you here today.
Check. There we go.
Perfect.
All right. I'm Matt. I'm the chair of our lead team. We got Maddie here. She's also on the lead team. She's got a cool little gift.
I do.
Could you talk about it?
Yeah. So as you guys saw, we had some messages from the Evangelical Covenant Church, the president, Tammy. They sent along this plaque for a renewed church for our 10th anniversary. It'll hang up somewhere. I don't know where Jamie wants to hang it up. But they sent this cool plaque for the church to celebrate with us. So this is for you, for our church.
I think I was telling him right above his computer in his office, just a glaring reminder that you're of the covenant and you've done it for 10 years. So we as a lead team also have a gift for you and Emily, and we just want to recognize that, you know, you felt a call from God to plant a church. And at first, you didn't even know where, and then God eventually told you, go to Eau Claire. So pick up your family and move to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where you have very few connections, and plant a church in his name. And that's just a huge step of faithfulness, and that wasn't even like that was just one of the first, you know, many hurdles that happen in planting a church. And so I think we as a lead team just want to recognize your faithfulness, your perseverance to both of you and the role that you play, just in how that's impacted so many people, you know, not even just here this morning, but people throughout our whole community have been impacted by Renew Church. And that's just because of your faithfulness and you just following what the Lord and the Spirit has called you to. So let's pray for you as you begin your sermon. Father God, first we just want to thank you for Pastor Jamie and Emily and just the growing and the planting of your church. And Lord, we just thank you for planting this church in good soil. And just wonderful things have come from it. And so we lift them up to you as we enter the next 10 years, as we continue down this journey as a church, just following your will. So Lord, we just pray over Jamie as he shares the word this morning, just that he'd be guided by the Spirit and that we would have open hearts and minds to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Matt and Mari. Thank you. Thank you, Mari and Julie, for helping set up downstairs in this celebration. I first want to thank, if this is your first time here, we don't do this every Sunday. So we're starting a new series next week, starting our Lent kind of season, talking about the wilderness. In the theme of wilderness throughout Scripture. So I am pumped for it. Come back next week. But today is just about celebrating, right? Like it's a mark in the calendar to say, hey, we're going to celebrate. If you're counting, you might think, like, we started in 2015 and this is 2026. So you're going, hey, why are we doing 10 years now? I just wanted to make sure we'd survive 10 full years before we... That's a joke, but... I first wanted to thank Emily, my wife. She's not here. She will be here for second service. But I wanted to thank her for faithfully clinging onto a dream of what is church. She's the first one that said yes to this crazy idea. And she wanted to meet people and have their lives changed by Jesus. And she's been faithful on the church planting journey through every question, every step, every trial, every doubt, every disappointment, every joy, and continues to faithfully follow Jesus and love his church and the dream of what church can be. She's been an encourager, and she keeps us anchored in the mission. I also want to thank Mitch and Amanda, who faithfully uprooted their lives and just follow Jesus. And they moved here. First they said no. That is a true story. And then God just wrestled them down and said, you're going anyway. And I would say every person that's doing a work in ministry needs to have partners of ministry that serve sacrificially along with them to chase after the vision and to build it. I mean, if we thanked everybody, there'd be a long list here. There'd be all the people that have served on staff, all the people that have been part of our church for the last 10 years. Each person, I believe, God brought here as a gift to use their giftings and their passions in our church to help build up the body of Christ. So this morning, I just wanted to celebrate what Jesus has done. It started years ago with a question. I wonder if I'm called to plant a church. Be very careful about the questions that you pray and ask. What followed was years of discussion and lots of prayer because we weren't sold on the idea right away. It took a lot of discussion. It took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of answers from the Holy Spirit. And it led to the Holy Spirit calling us to take these massive steps of faith to plant a church. We didn't have any money, we didn't have any people, and we didn't have a place to plant. And so with each step, we prayed. With each step, we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and waited for the answers. For me, my calling to plant happened at the kitchen sink. And I was praying about planting and really doing the dishes. And finally, while doing the dishes, how many great like answered prayers come while doing the dishes? I was sitting there and finally was like, okay, Jesus, I will go wherever you're calling us to. whatever you're calling us to do, I will go. Now lead. For Emily, it was listening to a sermon and quietly after worship asking the Holy Spirit, what direction should we go? In the smallest of whispers, just said, I've already told you what you need to do. Just go do it. And then without people, without money, without a place, we started taking steps. Early on, I remember waking up at 3 a.m. just stressed. Do I have any other, like, anxious people waking up at 3 a.m.? And I remember sitting there praying and just on a whim opening my Bible. I wish I opened the Bible every time I woke up, but I don't. This was one of those times that I opened my Bible and it turned to Hebrews 11:10. And it was an answered prayer because I was sitting there going, Jesus, what do you want us to do? What do you want this to look like? Please provide some answers. In Hebrews 11:10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. At 3 a.m, I read that verse, and it's almost like this peace came over me. Oh, all right. I'm not in charge. I don't have to just build this thing or chase this dream. I'm not in charge. I'm joining a long line of men and women that have followed God, that have followed Jesus, that have taken steps of faith to join God in building what he's already planned, what he's already created. And all we have to do is step forward into it. Maybe you're there in life right now. You're going, man, I don't know the answers. I don't know what's going to happen. And maybe it's an encouragement to you. Maybe you need to hear this word this morning, that all you have to do is just take some steps of faith and trust. Because the builder, God, is already building it. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone back to that verse as we've journeyed as a church. When we got kicked out of the school, God, you're the builder. Don't know what the next step is. As we were meeting in parks for the summer, having to cancel because of rain with 20 people. God, don't know what you're doing. You're the builder. I don't know how many times I've said, God, you're the builder, and this is your church. This is your bride. Yeah, God, I have my part, but you've got a lot more. And I pray that I can have faith in you as we take steps of faith. And I continue to be in awe of where we are and what Jesus is building and how Jesus has provided. I think of all the stories in the room that we could tell. All the times that Jesus has met somebody in this sanctuary, has met somebody through this ministry. And it's amazing to see the stories. It's amazing to see what God has done, what God has provided. Now turn with me to 1 Samuel. We're going to walk through just a brief story in Scripture. But the story of Samuel tells the story of a prophet and a leader of God's people in the days following their arrival into the Promised Land. See, Samuel was the overseer of a gradual transition between Israel's leadership by tribal judges to kings, and ultimately a unified kingdom. And it's during this time that God's people, referred to as the nation of Israel, live in contrast in conflict with neighboring people known as the Philistines. It's this back and forth kind of fighting throughout much of the time. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, the Philistines have prepared themselves to mount an attack on Israel, and God's people are afraid. Turn with me to verse 8. Verse 7, when the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, their leader, so they're about to be attacked, and they are afraid of what's going to happen. The Philistines, maybe their army was bigger. They were surely afraid that they were going to be defeated. And so they call out to their leader, Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Samuel, don't stop crying out to God. On our behalf, don't stop crying out for the Lord to do something here, that he may somehow rescue us. See, in Israel's history, you see right as Moses was coming on the scene that they cried out to God, and God came in and rescued them from the oppression, from the slavery. So I wonder how many of them had heard after generations that this had happened. And they're remembering, God saved us once before, maybe he can do it again. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such panic that they were routed before the Israelites. And then in verse 12, man, there's such power in verse 12. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer. So he took stone or a pile of rocks and set them up. It is a way to remember, almost a monument, a small statue, a moment in time, is a way to remember. It says, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. He sets up a stone, a moment in time, much like today, 10th year anniversary, a moment where we mark in time and we declare, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. Up to this point, the Lord has sustained us. Up to this point, the Lord has provided. For Israel, it's a major milestone in their history. And Samuel celebrates by building a monument and sending a message to all the people for all time that the Lord helped us. And I think back to the last 10 years. And I want today to be the time when we declare, look at the last 10 years and look how Jesus has provided. Look how Jesus has sustained. It hasn't been easy, right? It hasn't been simple. But we can look back at our history, and if you've been around here for a while, you can look back also and go, man, Jesus showed up here, Jesus showed up here, Jesus showed up here. A couple of key moments in our history. Now, the first was Jesus providing this building. And Jim told the story. What he didn't say was how foolish I felt as a leader to go before the church probably 3 or 4 times and go, hey, guys, we're moving. Let's get ready. And then almost like the next week, hey, guys, that fell through. So we got a new plan. We're going to go over here. And then finally, we were going to buy the old YMCA. Someone was going to finance it for us. The week before closing, they pulled out of the deal. And I remember just devastated. You know, I was moping around, stressed, Emily likes to tell this part of the story. I was in our kitchen just stressed and full of anxiety, and she looked at me and she said, "Hey, you're the leader. Go figure it out." And she said, "Don't come back into this kitchen until you have it figured out." Amen. Amen. No truer words have ever been spoken. And I remember even going down to the river and spending hours just walking along the river and praying. And you know what verse came back to me? Hebrews 11:10. God's the architect and the builder. Okay, God, if you're the architect and builder, I'm just gonna step faithfully until you show me where. And then it happened that I heard that this building was maybe we could rent from them. And we walked in, and I asked the pastor, I said, "Could we rent this place from you?" And he said, "Well, we took a tour," and he said, "Well, we're meeting on Sunday to decide whether we should sell the building or not. You interested?" "Yeah." "How much?" $180,000. "You think that'll work?" I said, "I will go buy it right now." And it was just amazing to see how God provided this space, and amazing to see how one church essentially dying gave birth to another church thriving. And Jim's right, sitting there downstairs in the lounge had green carpet at the time. And sitting there downstairs in the lounge and just watching tears flow down their face going, "Man, we thought this place was dead, and all we want is for this place to still be a church." I believe one of them said, "We just want this steeple to still be lit so drunk kids can find their way back to their homes." The other shift that took place, or the other moment that I want to mention, is COVID. Anybody remember COVID? I know. We all just tried to push that out. But COVID was an opportunity for us to pause. Many of you have been here prior to COVID. The growth that we were experiencing at the time was not sustainable. I think we moved into this building with 110 people, and by the time, a couple years later, by the time COVID hit, the month before, we had 400 average attendance. Now, here's the thing. We weren't sustainable at that 400 mark. We had about half college students, half families, and we found out over COVID how many people went either far right or far left, or how many people caught in this struggle of all that we were struggling through culturally at the time. And so we came back from COVID, and I think we had 150 or 200 in those first few months. But here's the thing, that pause gave us an opportunity. Because we were distracted by numbers, we were distracted by people, we were distracted by issues, we were distracted by all these things prior to COVID. And I remember sitting down and going, okay, this is an opportunity, this is a pause to get back to our mission. Get back to what God called us to. Get back to making disciples that make disciples. Get back to being a church that is for Jesus, for people, and for our city. And we started to build back again. And then a few years ago, if you were here, you remember that one Sunday we came to you and we said, "Hey, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. And the finances aren't shaken out. We're spending more than we're bringing in. And so how are we going to fix that, church? We can either spend less or we need to raise our income." And I remember sitting up here going, here's the deal, church, and then inviting you to go, "Hey, I just want you to pray. And I believe God's going to call you. Like, I think we're supposed to pray and God's going to call us to give what he calls us to give. And then our job is to give joyfully." And within a month, we increased our giving by like 10 grand. And then that sustained. That was another moment where we're going, man, we could sink or swim right here. Those major moments led us and formed us to be the church we are today. And I am so thankful for where we are today. Like in 10 years, like this is the best. And I only expect it to get better as we grow and as we mature. Now they say that your church plant years often mimic like real years, right? So just imagine like a 10-year-old. You know, somewhat sustainable, somewhat they can like do things on their own, but they're a little wobbly, right? And they're growing up, and you can kind of see what they're growing up to be, but yet they're still a little wobbly. They still need a lot of help. That's exactly where we are as a church. We're a little wobbly, but it's starting to take shape. And I can't wait to see what Jesus continues to do through you. See, there's a tendency on these celebration Sundays to go, wow, look what Jamie and Emily did. Look what Mitch and Amanda did. Look what so-and-so did. Look at that staff person. Look at this staff person. But here's the truth. That it's you. It's us. That faithfully took steps to build what we have now. And it's us that God brought here. And it's us that God continues to give us a dream of what church can be. And it's us that's called to take those steps of faith, as terrifying as they are sometimes, and to keep chasing after what God calls us to be and do in this world. And as we take those steps of faith, see, I don't want to just get comfortable, church. Like, I think some of the best times in life are when you're just standing on the edge and you feel like God's calling you to something deeper, something greater, something that you may not be ready for, but you trust in the builder. And you trust in the architect. Think about maybe a time that you decided to go on a date or to take that job or to get married or to have kids or to move or to buy the house or any big decision. You stand at the edge and you go, I think I'm called to do this. I think God's calling us to do this. All I'm doing is praying and faithfully following him, and I think he's calling us to do this, but it's terrifying. And it's hard work, but I'm just going to take the step and trust in the builder, trust in the architect that he's got it all figured out, and that with each step, he'll meet us every moment in the journey. And then we get to look back and go, man, look what God did. Look how God provided. My marriage wouldn't make it if it weren't for God. I wouldn't be the dad. I wouldn't be the husband. I wouldn't be the wife that I am if it weren't for God. I wouldn't be the worker, the employee. I wouldn't have made the difference in the world that I have if it weren't for God. Up until this point, God has helped us. God has provided. God has sustained. And we continue to trust in the builder and the architect to continue to provide as we continue to take steps of faith. Amen? Amen. I cannot wait to see what the next 10 years are like. It's going to be awesome. And God invites us on the journey, to join the journey, to help build his church, to show people who he is. Amen? Amen. Let's pray as worship team comes up. Jesus, we give you praise. We declare who you are, Jesus. There's been so many times in our lives where you've met us. Where maybe we've been in a place of struggle, or we've been in a place of question, of doubt, of we just don't know how this is going to happen. And Jesus, you have provided over and over and over again. And so Jesus, I pray that we don't hesitate to set up moments or stones or something to mark the time to say, look, in this moment, we recognize how God has helped us, sustained us, provided for us. And we want to give him praise and we want to give him glory. See, this isn't about Renew Church. It isn't about a ministry. It's about what you are doing. We are thankful that you are using us and we get to partner with you as we follow you. We give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.